Testarossa ranging up to Northeast Sheila. Testarossa's put its head in front from Northeast Sheila. Two lengths, Redoubt's Choice, and further back, Cullen, then Real Jester. Testarossa in front at the 150. Has to dig as Redoubt's Choice gets alongside. Redoubt's Choice takes the lead from Testarossa. Then Cullen followed late by Dangerous. Redoubt's Choice, an amazing win. This wins at two lengths. Second, Testarossa.
Oh, one of the superstars winning the 1999 Blue Diamond. 50 years of Blue Diamonds. Tomorrow we'll look back on some of the best wins. JB Cummings got off and run a... JB, that's a Freudian slip. James Cummings, Blue Diamond runner tomorrow. But I wonder if he's got a favourite diamond over the years. Good morning, James. How are you, mate?
Michael, how are you?
Very well indeed. Have you got a diamond that sticks out in your memory that you've seen over the last few years?
I tell you, it'd be a pretty good effort to get a JB Cummings runner there this year.
Yeah, I know.
He was good. I don't think he was that good.
It would be very good to get one in. The Blue Army's not there under your name, but Hanseatic, is it the one to beat?
You'd think whatever beats him will be winning.
Mm. Does that annoy you? He's not in your barn?
No, it's good for the farm. I know the guys are pretty confident about it. He looks a nice horse.
Well, the Blue Army could have a cracking day because the Diamonds are going to be very, very close to being won by their colours. And then you've got the hot favourite in the Oakley Plate, Bivouac. Gee, it looks a good race for him. Although I was having a look back through the history, which I know you like to look at. Takes a good three-year-old to win an Oakley Plate with 55.5 kilos. I think Fastnet Rock was the last three-year-old to win with a bigger weight, 57, in 2005. Is Bivouac good enough to do it tomorrow?
Well, it's interesting, Fastnet Rock doing it at 57. He was coming into the race off winning the Lightning when they had the races more spaced, and he ran off a rating of about 115. We arrived here with 55.5. Most likely because the most reasonably because of the lack of Group One winning top weighted horse, and you know it brings those horses right down the bottom that are very fast horses into the race.
Mm.
So he on account of that, it's a very hard race for him to get up and win. But we're on target for the race, and we're all systems go. He looks to have drawn a nice enough barrier in order to just blend into the race when he needs to. And we're very, very pleased with the way it's going. So if he can be good enough to get up and beat these horses under the handicap conditions in a fast race like the Oakley Plate, well, he joins an illustrious group, and I think it justifies his position and our estimation of where he fits.
Do you think he's taken much improvement from his three-year-old campaign where he was one of the top three-year-olds in a stellar year?
I do. I feel he's got physical improvement about him. He's not overly heavy. He's got plenty of scope about him, but he just seems to have come back so nicely. To think that he's capable of performing right back to that level is exciting for us. It's something we're looking forward to seeing him improve on the track this preparation, and his versatility will get the opportunity to put that to good use this time in. He's going to be up for a solid test tomorrow, and when that really genuine Oakley Plate speed is on and the horse is getting his chance, it'd be great to see him even with that heavier weight and mid range be able to fight off such sharp horses and more seasoned horses than him to demonstrate that ability that he's got.
You confident he will do it?
Well, I would have been more confident with 53.5, but the truth is that he's a pretty impressive horse, and I think he's going to give us a really good chance. I thought Anna Head was really impressive winning the Rubiton a couple of weeks ago. I thought the horses like her and some of the other seasoned horses aren't going to be easy to beat. But it's the race we chose for him, and we think he can be competitive in anything we run him in, so why not?
Is that his only run down here, or have you got the Newmarket in the back of your mind as well?
Well, we have him nominated for the Newmarket, and we're conscious of the William Reid being suitably positioned in his program. We have a good idea about exactly where we want him to go, but a horse like Bivouac is the type of horse that we're conscious of racing sparingly. And only when he's really, really ready for it. So we're not locking in anything exactly. I'm keeping our options open. He's nominated for plenty of races coming up. So, you know, there's plenty of races that are on the table for him at this early juncture of his campaign.
Well, I suppose looking ahead, you've secured the Everest slot as well. He'd probably be your number one seed at this stage, wouldn't he?
Well, funny you say that. You know, he might be our Australian number one seed, but there's a colt overseas called Pinatubo who looks a pretty impressive animal. And, you know, if he's going to be twice the chance of bivouac in the race like that, then we'd be interested in running him. And you know what? I'd even run them both, that race works. But the beauty is we've got a high class sprinter in bivouac, and from my perspective, I'll be making sure that we've got the horse ready to go for the Everest if the time comes and he's the horse we're calling upon.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. Earlier in the day, you've got Pandemic, who might be well named at the moment with what's going on. He was good first up.
He was good first up. Darren Blindell said he could not be contained the last 50 metres. he's a good sprinter. He's had a little gap between runs, but that shouldn't worry him because we gave him a little jump out there last week, and he was unflattering in the jump out, but he was just held together. I think you can expect him to be running a good race tomorrow.
Is there any concern his racing style, Barrier One, around Caulfield?
Yeah, he's going to have to get himself out of trouble at the vital stages, and he's not going to be able to get away with too much going Melbourne way at Caulfield down along the inside in a small field for the first time. But the horse has got some talent. He's got the ability to get himself out of trouble, so that'll be a good test for him.
Latin, how's the sire's winner come back?
Look, she's come back well. It's a tough little race for her first up, but she can put herself in the mix and improve with the run under her belt.
In Sydney, you would have been really rapt with the microphone, his win last start. There'd been a few saying, is he the real deal from his two-year-old days? Gee, he was strong late, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. We loved the way he really stretched out, reaching for the winning post. For a colt that's got such a great winning record, that was very encouraging to see that return to form. And look, we found another really good race, considering a bunch of these chances are just first up from a spell. They're A-grade horses. There might be mild middle-distance horses, Castle Vecchio and Shadow Hero and Warning, but they're A-grade, and he's going to meet them with some match fitness, with an unbeaten 1,400-metre record, and he's lining up in a prestigious race like the Hobart Build, so it'll be great to see him win again in a feature race like that. Give us a bit of an idea exactly where we want to go with him after the weekend.
He's drawn a little wide. Will you press forward and try and sit in the first few?
Well, you'd have to think that there aren't many horses in that race with as much early pace as Microphone, so I think he'd have no dramas laying right up there. He might even take up the lead. But the runs under his belt this preparation are really going to stand him in good stead. He's able to quicken up on that heavy ground that's posted there moment, whether it's a heavy 9 on race day, I probably doubt it, but it might still be as bad as a 7, and he's going to need to be able to accelerate through it, which he's done in the past, so being up there might be the way to go.
Gee, you've got some nice horses and a lot of runners in Sydney. Outside of Microphone, who do you think's your best of the day?
Sebastiano has come back pretty well.
You say that much better than me. You're Italian, it's better than mine.
I'm a little bit guarded about her on when the track's not quick, but the race is perfect for her. She's well in at the set weights and penalties. If it improves enough to be to her liking, even though she hasn't got the race fitness, the match practice of White Moss, she's sort of meeting those sort of horses really well and going better than she was going when she placed in this race 12 months ago. So I'm keeping an eye on her.
I see the top 10 for the All-Star yesterday announced, and Greg Carpenter said he's going to be calling you about Elise for a possible wild card. If one was offered, would you take it?
We'd be pretty interested in taking it. It's going to be just about the mile race of the year, the All-Star Mile. It'll be exciting to be part of that contest. We had nominated three horses, Elise, Blit and Avilius, for the All-Star Mile. But you know, all three horses, and you know, all three horses have come back really well, and I think any one of them are potentially going to get the opportunity for a wild card. The important thing is whether or not it fits into their program. So we'll get through next weekend, and we'll be in a better position to give you an answer.
All right, we'll wait to see what unfolds. Can you leave us with a winner today? You've got a couple at Sale and some tonight at Canterbury.
Canterbury, we haven't got through the scratchings yet, so that's a little bit trickier to do. But I think, yeah, we think our horse Flensburg can run a bit of a race.
Today at Sale, race 3, number 4. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be on that, James. Best of luck tomorrow, especially with Bivouac.
All right. Thanks.